The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the first book of Corinthians, the first chapter, particularly this 10th verse. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why all these churches? Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, E-Free, Assembly of God. And that's not all. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, Free Methodist, United Methodist, the list could go on and on. Why all of these churches? But our text for the day encourages us that there is to be but one body of Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul in our text for today asked that very same question which I have posed. Why all these factions? For you see, already by the time Paul was writing, the church was being divided up along loyalty lines. But Paul didn't beat around the bush. He says quite plainly that there should be no division in the body of Christ. He says our only loyalty should be to Jesus, for he is the one who died for us, and he is the one whose name we have been baptized into. Yes, this verse is so clear in what it says to do, that often it has caused one extreme or the other in reaction among most people and most church bodies. Some seem to ignore this verse, while others embrace the principle of this verse wildly without much contemplation. Neither is the right attitude. Some, though, have been accused of ignoring it. To be honest, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and pastors, not to mention our church body as a whole, have often been accused of doing just that, of ignoring this call to unity in the church. After all, we are often viewed as those lone wolf types in town who never participate in any of the ecumenical services when all the other pastors are there. We don't just allow anyone who is a Christian to automatically come up and receive the Lord's Supper with us. We generally educate using our own materials that have been approved by our synod. And all these actions have many times then caused people to look at us and to think that we are ignoring the verse in our text, which calls for an end to all divisions in the church. I've heard people question openly how Lutherans can remain so separated from other Christians when the Bible so clearly calls us to end divisions. But then there is the other side. There are those who embrace the idea of being unified together without really thinking about what that would mean. They simply declare that all divisions are done and begin to work together in any way they can. As long as you at least claim to be a Christian, they're okay with you. Indeed, most of the other churches in our community tend to operate along this line. And yet, when those kind of people stand up together to lead worship, if you listen carefully, it usually becomes a cycle of one pastor correcting the last pastor's teaching. One might call for an altar call, giving people a chance to choose Jesus, while the next cowers in embarrassment at such an action. One gives the whole message without any reference to Jesus and his love. And the next stands up to make clear that a Christianity without Jesus is quite useless. One moves people that have come to believe into a private and individual life with Jesus, while the next urges church involvement. Oh yes, they hold hands when they get up to pray, to try to give a visual picture of the unity which they desire. But all too often after the service, they retire to mumble about what the other one had said. So which way is right? Is it those who seem to live with the feeling that it is fine to have division in the church and just live in our own part of that division? Or is it those who pretend for the public that we are unified when the true reality is far from accomplished? Well, I think it is clear that our text says that neither attitude is what the Scriptures intend. But the Scriptures, when talking about unity in the body of Christ, make two things very clear. One, division in the church is not what God desires, and it is not what He wills. But secondly, that true unity, based around God's truth, is the only unity that can truly accomplish anything. Unity that is simply declared or imagined cannot accomplish God's will. Yes, Paul in our text encourages that unity must revolve around saying the same things and thinking the same ways. But the reason why that unity is so often either ignored or imagined is because to truly have that kind of unity in the church as a whole takes great effort. It requires people to come together with a true knowledge of the Scriptures and a knowledge of their beliefs and where they come from. It also requires that people would come together with a generous dose of humility. Yes, it requires people to scour the Scriptures together at great length in order to understand what the truth of the Scriptures teaches. It requires that sincere prayers would be made to the Holy Spirit, that He might give us all the same mind and the same understanding. It requires that we would speak honestly to one another rather than always being afraid to offend one another. In general, it requires that everybody involved would lay down all of their other loyalties and cling to Jesus alone. By this point in the sermon, you may just be thinking, well, fine, Pastor, you work on that at the Ministerial Alliance. Or sure, Pastor, let us know if anything changes at the synodical level. You may think that you can sit and wait. But I remind you today that this text was not given to the pastors and to the leaders of church bodies. But this text itself was given to the Corinthian Christians. It was given to the lay women and lay men of the church of that time. And so today, this text is given to you. For truly, unity in the body of Christ will likely never be worked out at the institutional level, unless it first begins at the individual level. But I suppose when it comes down to the individual level, we still act a lot like our church body teaches us to. I suppose even at the individual level, some of us act as if the divisions in the body of Christ are okay, and still others act as if there is no division between those bodies. This church, historically speaking, tended to lean towards ignoring the other church bodies. Now, granted, this was largely due to a cultural and a language difference in this area more than it was to religious difference. But the truth is, historically, Lutherans in this area did not interact, did not date, did not even in some cases talk to people that were not Lutherans. Either you were Lutheran or you were not. End of story. But now that we have changed times and we share a common language with all the other Christians in town, and now that many of us work in jobs that force us into constant interaction with people of all Christian churches, many of us now tend to take the exact opposite route. After all, it's much easier to interact with people of other churches if we simply ignore our differences. If we never talk about the fact that we do have real and genuine different teachings between the church. That is why, especially in small towns, many live by the mantra, never, never talk about religion. We simply tell ourselves that as long as you go to church, and I go to church, everything is fine. You see, our text reveals again today that both of these attitudes miss the point. We cannot go on ignoring other church bodies, other Christian people, acting as if they are not important to the work that God wishes to do in our area. But at the same time, we must interact with them in a very honest way, in a way that acknowledges the very real differences we have with them. For the sake of unity in the body, we must stop the silence about religion and begin to talk honestly. We must put aside our love of tact and of peace in order that we might focus on truth and unity. And this is not done for our sake, nor for the sake of the other churches in our community, but rather it is for the sake of Christ. For it is only when we look like Jesus that then we can truly be the fishers of men that our gospel lesson calls us to. Yes, for it is all for Christ's sake. For it is Him who was crucified for us. It is Him whose name we were baptized into, and in Him there is no division. So today, let us not simply sit around and live like we always have, either ignoring the other churches in town or simply acting as if we're all the same. Let us rather begin to engage our brothers and sisters in Christ with humility and with truthfulness. And let us pray that the Holy Spirit might work true unity in the church. Yes, today we are called to confess those times when we have ignored God's call to unity. We are also called to confess those times when we have simply imagined it. And then we are called to receive again all of the wonderful forgiveness of Christ which He earned at the cross. For while those outside of the church look at the idea of a God dying on a cross to accomplish salvation as ludicrous, you and I know that it is the power of God. The power to heal us, the power to save us, and yes, the power to bind the Christian church together. Amen.